Well, hey, we're in a series entitled Truth Wins. How many of you are glad that you can know that in some aspect, in some way, you can go ahead and win at something in life that really matters? Doesn't it make you feel good to know that there's hope and that when it seems like everything is going against you, no matter what it might be, there's still that hope of winning? I don't know about you, but life goes ahead and unfolds sometimes, and sometimes it unfolds and it just makes you feel like everything is just going against you. Have you ever had a situation in your life before where you just felt like everything was going against you? Just raise your hand. You don't have to say anything else. You can just go ahead and say, yes, I've been there. I felt like everything was going against me and it couldn't get any worse. And then here's the good news about it is we find out that it could get worse, right? Yeah, we've been there. You know, as I was looking at some of the prayer requests that have come in over the past several weeks, and we've nailed to the cross, and we pray over them as individuals, and we pray over them as a staff, and we just ask for God's help and His blessing and direction and help in overcoming some of those things, I'm reminded that so many of us have so many things in common, even though our lives are different. You see, everyone in their life at some point in time has something that they want to overcome. And we all have something that we want to overcome that we can't overcome on our own. And for the past several weeks, we've been in a series just entitled Truth Wins. And we've been talking about getting help and overcoming the struggles and the battles of life. Getting help and overcoming the challenges of life, because we all have them and we all need help. But where do we go for that help? We've talked about how truth changes everything, and when Jesus rose from the dead on that first resurrection Sunday, that first Easter morning, how when the disciples went and the ladies went and they expected to go ahead and have someone roll the stone away, they were worried about how they're going to do that, and then how they're going to take care of the body and prepare the body and all of these things. They expected to find a lifeless Jesus. But when they got there, everything changed, because the truth was He was not dead, He was risen. The truth is He was God in flesh, and the truth is as He was able to overcome the grave on that day, He's still helping people overcome the struggles of this life and our greatest enemy, death and sin. And since He was able to do that, truth changed everything for them, but that truth changes everything for you. And today, I don't know what it is that you need to overcome. Last Sunday, we talked about how we all need help sometimes overcoming the emotional struggles of life. We've all had a problem at some point in time with fear, right? And here's what we've discovered. Fear will cause us to go ahead and run the opposite direction. Fear will cause us to kind of be paralyzed by the moments of life that just kind of grip us, and we say, man, there's no hope and there's not an answer. We just sang a song a moment ago entitled Fear is a Liar. And you know what? Fear will go ahead and lie to you and tell you that you are all alone. And fear will tell you that as a Christian, you shouldn't have struggles that you need help overcoming. We learned that last Sunday through the life of Elijah. Now God can go ahead and take our greatest fears, and He can take our greatest hurts. He can remind us that we're not alone, and He can go ahead and tell us that when we come to Him, He can take care of all of those things just as He did for him. Well, today, we're going to go ahead and discover how we can overcome some challenges and struggles in our relationships. We're going to talk about how truth wins in relationships, and we're going to take a look at the theme verse for this series in John chapter 8 and verse number 31 and 32, and we're going to discover how it connects in our relationship with Jesus, but how our relationship with Jesus goes ahead and connects to every other relationship that we have. You see, one of the reasons that a relationship with Jesus is so important is because we can't get forgiveness of sin without a relationship with Jesus. I want us to get that. We don't have the hope of heaven without a personal trust and a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to discover that in just a moment. It's right out of God's word. We do not have that hope, and we will not have that help without that personal faith and that personal relationship with Jesus. But here's the other reality. Jesus says this. Jesus says the closer we get to him and the more we get to know him and the more we believe and the more we trust and the more we live, here's what's going to happen. Our relationship not only with him gets better, but our relationships with those that we love, those that we live with, those that we work with, those that we do life with, they're going to get better. They're going to get stronger. They're going to get healthier. Now, I know that we all go through seasons of life where we could use a stronger relationship with our spouse, right? I know that we all go through seasons of life where we could use a better relationship and a stronger relationship and a healthier relationship with our children, right? I mean, we've been there. Sometimes as parents, we go ahead and say, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Can I tell you something? Sometimes there's nothing wrong with us and we're not doing anything wrong, right? Right? Kids are just going to be kids, right? I mean, it happens. They come out and they're cute as anything, and they grow up and you say, why'd I ever have you? Right? I mean, some of you have been there. Some of you are just pretending you've not been there. But let me tell you something. The only person you're kidding is yourself, right? We've all been there. We've had moments on the job where everything is great and relationships there are healthy, and then all of a sudden it goes wrong, and we wonder, man, how can I even go ahead and go in there and deal with that situation, or that group of people is making it really difficult on me. We go ahead and run into that in many different ways. So what do we do? How do we overcome, and how can truth help me win in that setting and in that situation? Well, here's what Jesus gathers and tells some people who are Jews, who are hearing some of these things for the first time, but they've begun to take a liking to Jesus, and they begin to trust him, and they begin to go ahead and believe what he's saying. And here's what begins to unfold. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Jesus said, some of you are just here checking me out, and some of you believe a little bit of what I'm saying, but if you really want to live a life that's different, and you really want to have a relationship with me, and you really want to follow me, then here's what you've got to do. You've got to stay connected to me. He says, you've got to count on me. You've got to depend on me. And we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Because here's what happens in your relationships and my relationships, okay? We tend to go ahead and depend on who? Ourselves. Marriage problem comes up, and we say, man, I'll get this figured out. I can handle this. We're just going to do it my way, and she'll be okay. And you know what I've discovered? Sometimes she's not okay with my way. Right? And you know what you've discovered? Sometimes they're not okay with your way. Sometimes when we go ahead and have a bump in the road with our children or our neighbors or the coworker. So sometimes when we look and we say we're really struggling with this situation, we just think we're going to handle it our way and that it's going to work out. And the truth is it really doesn't. Sometimes it gets more difficult. Where do we find help? Jesus said, if you abide, if you stay connected in my word, if you continue in my word, if you make my word the center point of your life, if you make my word the center point of all that you are and all that you want to do, here's what's going to happen. He says, you're going to be my follower, but then here's what he says. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, immediately following this discussion, this group that's listening and this group that's having a conversation, they've said, look, we've never been anybody's slave. We've never been in anybody's home and been their bondservant. We've never been out and done anything for anyone. We've never had that. We are good people. We come from the right lineage and we have everything together. It doesn't say it just like that, but that's what they're saying. They said we're good people and we don't need any freedom because everything's okay. We've got a good background. We've got the answer. We do the right things. You know what? Some of us think if we do the right things, we're going to be okay. Some of us think if we can just go ahead and come up with the right answer on our own, we're going to go ahead and be okay and we can handle things. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, look, if you want to go ahead and be my follower, if you want a life that is a reflection of me, then here's what you need to go ahead and do. You need to stay connected to my word, because when you stay connected to my word, when you stay connected to my example, here's what happens. You begin to experience a freedom in life because you know the truth. So what was Jesus saying? You want to go ahead and nail some things down this morning and shore up some relationships and strengthen them and have a better relationship with your husband or with your wife, with your kids, with that person that might go ahead and just kind of grate at you every once in a while? You want a better relationship? Can I just say this? Here's the first thing that Jesus teaches us in John chapter 8. Verse number 31 and verse number 32. Before we even get to the freedom part, here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, you want freedom, you want strength, then you need to go know the truth. And here's how we know the truth. We've got to have a dependence on Jesus. If we could go ahead and have anything in this life that would make our relationship better, here's what we have to have. We have to have a dependence upon Jesus. Here's what Jesus says. He says, if you want to go ahead and live a life that is different, if you want to be my follower, if you want to go ahead and follow me, here's what you've got to do. You've got to depend upon me, because the more you depend upon me, here's what's going to happen. You're going to know more truth, and here's the reality. The more truth you know, the greater freedom you're going to have. What does dependence upon Jesus do? The first thing that dependence upon Jesus does is this. It overcomes the sin that's in your life, and it overcomes the sin that is in my life. Some of us are depending upon ourselves to go ahead and get us to heaven. And guess what? Can I tell you something? That can't happen. That just can't happen. The Bible says that there's not one that's righteous. The Bible teaches us that all of the things that I think are good and all of the things that I think I can do on my own to go ahead and get to heaven, guess what? I'm going to end up coming up short. Why? Because I sin and I am a sinner. So what did Jesus do? The Bible says that God commended his love toward us, and that while I was yet a sinner, Jesus took my place, and Jesus died for me, and Jesus died for you. And the only way we can go ahead and overcome sin is through a dependence on Jesus, depending on him for the forgiveness of my sin. That's where it begins. But Jesus also teaches us this. That's not where it ends. Jesus said, you really want to experience some freedom in life? You really want to get things a little bit better? You really want to go a little bit deeper? You really want to experience some lasting freedom? Then here's what I need you to do. He says, I need you to go ahead and depend upon me, not only to overcome the sin in your life, depend upon me to be your Savior. He says, because I'll do that, but I need you to go ahead and depend upon me to be the source of truth for every area of your life. And then you'll begin to experience freedom. Jesus says truth brings freedom. Do you know what he was saying? Truth wins. Some of us today don't have much freedom in our relationship with Christ, and it might be because we're not certain that we have one. It might be because we're not certain there's ever been a point in time in our life where we say, you know what, I've never really come to that place where I've gotten over myself and I've realized that there's nothing I can do to go ahead and make myself good enough. So I've got to turn my life over to Jesus, and I've got to say, please forgive me, I'm a sinner, and I need that personal faith and that personal trust in you. I need that salvation that only you can give. You see, it's tempting to think that we're good enough, but Jesus says, no, we're not. We've got to depend upon him for that salvation. We've got to depend upon him to help us to overcome our sin. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus goes ahead and says, look, you're going to go ahead and know the truth. So what do we do? What do we need to depend upon Jesus for? You know, we need to depend upon Jesus to go ahead and overcome sin. But you know, one of the things that we need to depend upon Jesus for is not just to overcome sin, but do you know why I need to depend upon Jesus? You know, one of the greatest struggles that I have in all of my relationships? Me. I need to know Jesus more, and I need to know more of his truth so that I can go ahead and depend upon him to overcome myself. You see, it's really easy for us to believe in our relationships that the other person is always the problem. It's really easy for us to go ahead and project everything onto someone else, but Jesus said, look, you need to go ahead and you need to depend upon me. You need to go ahead and know the truth, and when we begin to know the truth and we begin to live the truth, then here's what's going to happen. We're going to go ahead and begin to overcome the struggles and problems of life, and the first thing we overcome is sin. Then we need dependence to overcome self. But we need dependence to know the truth. Jesus looked at his disciples in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus had been with his disciples for right at about 3 years. By John chapter 14, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. His disciples have witnessed the raising of the dead. They've seen water turned into wine. They've seen the blind man have his sight restored. They've been able to go ahead and see all kinds of miracles. And Jesus has a conversation. And Jesus begins to have a conversation with his disciples, and he says, look, I don't want your hearts to be troubled, and I don't want you to be upset. He begins to tell them about heaven and how they can have the way to heaven and where the Father's house is going to be. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know what's going to take place. And they have a conversation, and then Philip goes ahead and responds. And here's Jesus' response to Philip in John chapter 14 in verse number 9. He says, I've been with you so long, and you don't know me. You know, one of our greatest problems in this life is this, is that we really don't know Jesus. We really don't know that much about him. Some of us know that we need a Savior, and some of us have trusted him to be our Savior, but do we really know that much about Jesus? Jesus said, when you know the truth, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, one of the greatest things that will strengthen your relationships, one of the greatest things that will bring healing in our homes, one of the greatest things that will restore relationships that are broken is to get to know Jesus just a little bit more. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? It will make you free. Freedom's found in Jesus. Hope is found in Jesus. Healing is found in Jesus. Health is found in Jesus. Some of you would say, John, you know, the sermon seems a little repetitive to this point. And you know what? Maybe it seems a little repetitive to this point, and maybe it seems a little simple to talk about to this point, but can I tell you something? It's mighty difficult to live. Because if it was easy to live as it is to talk about, our society and our culture wouldn't have the problems that we have. You see, those that are Christ followers have the exact same struggles in this life that so many other have. They have the challenges of dealing with marital problems and problems with children and unexpected financial struggles and all kinds of things. We're not exempt from that, but we have someone who will help us with that. And here's the deal. Jesus said, look, if you'll come back to me and you'll stay connected to me, in me, you are going to go ahead and find the answer for life's greatest questions and life's greatest struggles. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to find freedom and hope in that situation, and you're going to find it in Jesus Christ. You know, in our relationships, we can have a freedom. We can have a freedom when we begin to go ahead and take on a little more of the likeness of Christ. Because you know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, when you know the truth, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have freedom, but how does that take place? It takes place because the more we know about him, the more like him we become. I want to repeat that because it's simple, but it's really practical and powerful. The more we know him, the more of his likeness will be in our life. So what do we need in our relationships that we see from the life of Jesus that we can go ahead and begin to just take and live out? Jesus said, you'll know the truth if you want to follow me, if you want to have that relationship with me, continue in my word, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to have freedom. So what Jesus was saying is this: listen to my word, know my word, follow my word. What he was saying was follow his example. What's an example of Jesus about relationships? Well, let's go ahead and take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Because in Philippians chapter 2, we see a human side of Jesus. And we see a human side of Jesus coming to this earth to interact with you and me, but also to go ahead and follow the Father's plan. So let's just go ahead and dive into Philippians chapter 2 and see what is said. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, when we read the end of that, we say, man, that's pretty amazing. There's coming a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. But when we look at the beginning of that passage of Scripture, here's one of the things that we see. We see the example, we see the word of Jesus that we need to go ahead and connect with and that we need to follow in our relationships. We see something that gives us hope and something that will give us help no matter who we are. What do I need to take from the life of Jesus and begin to go ahead and to put into my relationships? The first thing is this. The Bible says that he went ahead and became as a man. Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Can I tell you something that we need to go ahead and put in our relationships today if we want to go ahead and have a little bit of sense of overcoming some of the struggles that are there? Here's the first thing. Have a humility like Christ. What is humility? Humility is knowing who and what we are without Jesus. You see, sometimes we go ahead and we think that if we're humble, that just means that we let everybody walk all over us. Or we think if we're humble, we just go ahead and we're a weak person and we never say a word. No, humility is this. It's utter dependence upon Jesus. Humility is utter dependence upon the Father. Humility is coming to a place and time in our life where we think of others more than we think of ourselves. It's a pretty incredible thing to stop and think about. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, in those verses we just read, on down through verse number 8, here's what it says. It says that Jesus thought more of God the Father, and he thought more of you than he did himself. He thought more of God's plan, and he thought more of your need and my need to go ahead and have our sins forgiven. So he said, here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to go ahead and humble myself. I'm going to go ahead and make myself a little bit less. I'm going to go ahead and take on a different form. I'm going to identify with him. I'm going to be willing to go ahead and do what's not expected by them. I'm going to go ahead and have an aspect of humility. But he didn't stop there. You see, when we look at the humility like Christ, we see it in every relationship that he lived out. I want to just ask you this question. In all the relationships that you see with Jesus, when Jesus was interacting with his disciples, when he took on the Pharisees and the marketplace and in the temple, and when he encountered them and people questioned, who was always the humble one? Jesus had some hard sayings. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Jesus would go ahead and say what needed to be said in many situations. And even when he went out and he cleaned out the temple, right, and he just ran everybody out, what did he do that from? He operated in a position of humility consistently. You see, humility is a dependence upon God and keeping God at the center and knowing what we are without him. Humility is going ahead and lowering ourselves just a little bit and getting down where people are and identifying with their need. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went ahead and he took on your likeness and he took on my likeness, yet he remained perfect because he was the Son of God. He was God in flesh, but he remained dependent and connected. Let me ask you something. What would it do to your relationships if you just began to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and try and exercise a little more humility. I'm going to go ahead and be a little more dependent upon Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and begin to operate on that level where I'm more dependent upon him. I'm more connected to him. You see, there's something that comes through in the passage of Scripture in Philippians that we need to get. Because Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse number 31 and 32, if you want to go ahead and be my disciples, abide in my word, continue in my word, stay connected to my word, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you know what Jesus was talking about then? Jesus was talking about a real relationship. When we go ahead and we look at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus made himself of no reputation. Do you know what that means? He put relationship before reputation. It means he put relationship with the Father before what others thought about him. He put his relationship with the Father as a top priority, not necessarily how other people outside the relationship were. We're going to go ahead and look at him. He wasn't worried so much about what everybody else thought. He was more worried about what the Father thought. What would happen in our relationships if we just began to go ahead and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be a little more humble like Jesus. I'm going to strive for humility. I'm going to strive to stay connected to Jesus. But in the process of staying connected to Jesus, one of the things that I'm going to do over and over and over and over is to go ahead and ask God to help me have more humility, more dependence upon him, more knowing who and what I am without him. You see, sometimes in relationships, it's tempting for us to go ahead and look at other people and remind them how terrible they are. Remind them of their faults and their failures. When we look at Jesus and his example, when we look at what he said about following and continuing in his word and following his example, and we look at a picture of humility, it is a reminder that we need to remind ourselves. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we would be in that same situation. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we might be right there with him. We need to remember and remind ourselves all that Jesus has done for us and all that we're dependent upon him for. But there's something else that's connected in that passage of Scripture. The Bible says that he became as a servant. One of the things that we need in our relationships is not just a humility like Christ, but to serve like Jesus. We need to be servants like Jesus. What does that mean? Mark chapter 10, verse number 45, Jesus made this statement to his disciples. He said, for even the Son of Man didn't come to go ahead and to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Do you know what happens in many of our relationships? We go ahead and we ask ourselves this question, what's in it for me? What are they going to do for me? How are they going to go ahead and meet my needs? Yet Jesus shows up on the scene in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. It tells us that he, being in the form of God, right? He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and he became like a man, and he became obedient and he served even unto the death of the cross. We look and we just discover one word, servant. What relationship right now? Maybe it's with your spouse, maybe it's with your kids, maybe it's in your relationship with God, right? Maybe that's where we ought to go first. Maybe we ought to start saying, how can I serve you? Not necessarily what's in it for me. I love the passage of scripture that flows from Matthew chapter 20, because in Matthew chapter 20, we got a proud mom. Are there any proud moms in here today? Right? I mean, yeah, you're proud of your children. You think, man, I've done a great job with them, and wow, they are just hitting a home run continually. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 20, here's what the Bible says. It says this: then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her son. She just brings him right up in front of Jesus and says, here's my boys. Aren't they cute? And then the Bible says, kneeling down and asking something from him. In this passage of scripture, she doesn't approach Jesus and say, hey, what could we do for you? She approaches Jesus and says, I want you to do something for me. And he said to her, well, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am bound to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and sit on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Isn't it amazing that Jesus goes ahead and he points to his dependence upon the Father, even in this, right? Dependence upon the Father. Jesus says, look, we need to go ahead and be dependent upon him. We need to go ahead and have a greater dependence in our life. Jesus gives us that example. It's humble. That there's an aspect of humility in this passage of Scripture. And then Jesus also talks about him coming to serve. But in verse number 24, here's what happens. It says, when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Displeased mean they were ticked. They were upset. They were mad. These people are friends, but not so much friends right now. And here's what Jesus says. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, as Christians, our relationships are supposed to be different. He says that the Gentiles have this Lord and Master concept, and they want to go ahead and they want to rule over people, and they want to hold them down, and they want to continually say, what's in it for me? You're mine, and you owe me. And Jesus says, look, it shouldn't be so among you. If you are a Christ follower, we need to know the truth, and there's going to be great freedom in our relationship to go ahead and become like Jesus and be a servant to those that are around us, to be a servant to those that we have a relationship with. Do you know what James and John's mother was doing? She was keeping score. She was keeping score. She was really proud of her sons, and she came to Jesus and she said, man, Jesus, they have done this. I mean, they were the ones that picked up the most fragments the day you fed the multitudes. Remember? Those baskets were left over. I mean, did you see my boys out there picking things up? I mean, did you see how they ran for you and how they sacrificed for you? Oh, and when all those annoying people came and wanted to get close to you, they were some of the ones that tried to keep them away until you said, no, it's okay to let them come through. And then they walked them to the front of the line. I mean, can you imagine all the things that she's just going ahead and sharing as to why her children deserved to go ahead and have a special place? We look and we kind of smile, but it's really no different than you and I, because there's many times in our relationships we just go ahead and we keep score. And can I tell you something? When I step on a ball diamond, when I go play golf, you want to keep score, that's perfectly fine. I have every intent to beat you. I played golf with a guy not long ago, and he wanted to keep score, and I thought, if we really keep score, it's not going to be good. And I wasn't worried about keeping score in that setting. But you know one thing I've learned is when you keep score in relationships, there isn't a winner. Everybody's going to lose because it's going to destroy that relationship. You have to go ahead and mark everything that you deserve and everything that you need to go ahead and take out of that and all the reasons that you're number one in the relationship and why someone else should be serving you. It's not going to work. And can I just tell you, when Jesus said, I want you to go ahead and stay connected to my word, one of the things he was telling us is to learn from his example. Be dependent on one that's greater than we are. Go ahead and have an aspect of humility. Go ahead and take upon the form of a servant and quit asking who gets the most, who's the greatest, who's done the most, who deserves the most. Jesus said the life that serves is going to be the life that overcomes. The one that is a great servant is the one who's going to have the greatest wins where it matters. And last but certainly not least is this example that we see from Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus became obedient unto death. So we want to go ahead and learn something about freedom in our relationships, and we want to win and we want to overcome. Here's ultimately what we need to do. We need to have a dependence upon Jesus. We need to get in his truth and stay connected to him so that we can learn about his humility, so that we can implement humility in our relationships, so that we can become a servant in our relationships. What can I do for you? Not always what can you do for me? And we need to go ahead and learn to be submissive like Jesus. Now, guys, don't get excited. We're not going to Ephesians and talking about marriage and saying, all right, wives, you got to go ahead and be submissive. Submissive like Jesus. What does that mean? It means to honestly answer this question. Am I handling this relationship God's way, or am I handling it my way? Am I handling it God's way, or am I handling it my way? Am I following God's design? Am I following God's plan? Am I submitting to God in this relationship? Because if I'm doing things God's way, I can tell you this, sometimes it may still remain a little uncomfortable. Sometimes there might be some challenges that continue. But can I tell you, when we're doing it God's way, whether it's rough or whether it's a little turbulent, whether it just feels like a disaster, when we're doing it God's way, that's always a win. And in the end, you're going to overcome. It's about submitting. It's about submitting like Jesus. Jesus had a willing heart. He was willing to submit. He was willing to do it God's way. You want freedom in your relationships? You want to overcome some battles and some struggles? Honestly, ask yourself this question. Am I depending upon Jesus? Have I depended upon him to overcome the sin in my life? Am I depending upon him to overcome the self that's a battle for me daily? Am I following his example in humility and remembering who and what I am without him and operating in that way? Am I willing to go ahead and be the servant in a relationship? Because that's what Jesus said, it's the way to be as a Christ follower. Am I willing to go ahead and be submissive like Christ? Meaning, am I doing it God's way? Because when we begin to go ahead and just take those four simple things and put them into our relationships, we will begin to go ahead and see points and places where we're winning and we're overcoming in the struggles of this life. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today and we thank you for who you are. We come to you and we ask you to help us in our relationships today. Father, I pray that you'll be with us time where we can respond to you, for it's in Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around today, maybe you're here and you would say, John, You talked about that salvation relationship, knowing that personal trust and faith in Jesus. And I'm not certain that I have that. I'm not certain that there's been that moment. But today I'd like to know more about that. Maybe today is the day where you step out and you come. You just meet one of us right down front. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Jesus is your Savior. Maybe today you've already trusted Him as your Savior and you would say, John, quite honestly, I'm one that's not very dependent upon Jesus. I kind of try and do my own thing when it comes to relationships. I've not been willing to dive into His truth and get to know Him a little bit more. I've not been the one who's brought some humility to the relationship. I've not been one that's been serving. I've not been one that's submissive and doing it God's way. I've just kind of done things my way. Maybe today you would just come and kneel and pray and say, Lord, would you help me with one of these areas? Whatever your need might be. Just a moment as we stand together and sing, if God speaks to your heart, just step out and come. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. How anybody else is dealing with God is between the Lord and them. If you got a want to in your heart, and you'd like to come and pray, if you'd like to come and offer a prayer request and write it down and leave it at the foot of the cross and say, I want you to help me overcome this, Jesus. And come and do that. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed? If you know the words, I invite you to sing along. God speaks to your heart. I invite you to respond today.